Mormonism 101, a book by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson, has helped many who want to understand what separates Mormonism from the Christian faith. Mormonism 101 is available at your favorite Christian bookstore or online at mrm.org. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
What happens when a group of men control your eternal destiny? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. There was an article, in fact, it was front page news, the Salt Lake Tribune on September 5th, 2019. The title was "Writer Excommunicated During, quote, September 6 Purge, end quote, Loses Her Bid to Rejoin the LDS Church." Now, what's fascinating about this article, Eric, is I remember when this happened. This was big news when this took place back in the 1990s, when there were a group of intellectuals who were all excommunicated from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And what I find interesting about this article is when you go back to the 1990s, would you agree with me in saying that was kind of a different Mormon church back then?
It was.
In fact, you could call it Mormon church, and nobody raised an eyebrow at that time. And now, of course, they'd all be screaming, hey, you're being disrespectful. But back then, you really weren't allowed to criticize openly the leadership of the church. And I think what got this group into trouble was because they did vocalize some of their disagreements. And as a result, they were kicked out of the church. And you have to understand, if you're not a Latter-day Saint, this is something you have to get. When you're kicked out of the Mormon church, that has everything to do with your eternal salvation. But what do you do with an individual who claims that they believe, like every other Latter-day Saint, they've been kicked out of the church and want to get back into the church, and the church says no? Well, that's what this article is about. It deals with the story of Levina Fielding Anderson. And I guess to show you a little bit of her Mormon background, just look at her middle name, Fielding. That's the same middle name for Joseph F. Smith, the sixth president of the church, and also the 10th president of the church, Joseph Fielding Smith. So she has a Mormon background. It's not like she was just a brand new fresh convert. She has a history behind her relationship with the LDS Church. What does this article say, Eric?
And it's written by Peggy Fletcher Stack of the Salt Lake Tribune, and it says, Levina Fielding Anderson, one of the famed September 6 writers and scholars disciplined by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in 1993, got a big no last week to her request for rebaptism from the men who matter most, the faith's governing First Presidency. Quote, I was not surprised or angry about the outcome, end quote, Anderson said Wednesday, and she has no plans to try to open that door again. Quote, I have kept my covenants, remained close to the church, and have felt that what I have done is accepted by the Lord. If there is unfinished business, it's the First Presidency's, not mine.
Now, this goes back to what I was saying earlier. Here's an individual who felt in her heart she was a faithful Latter-day Saint before she was excommunicated in the 1990s. She said some things that certainly did not go well with the leadership. She was kicked out of the church. Now she wants to get back into the church. And now it's a different group of men, for the most part, definitely. And they're saying that she can't. Now, what does that mean for her? Well, in Mormonism, if you don't qualify for the celestial kingdom, you end up being damned. One unconfessed sin, one unrepented of sin, will bring damnation to you, according to the teachings of Mormonism. You will not enjoy celestial exaltation. You cannot be with your spouse for eternity. You will have to spend eternity in a lower level of Mormon heaven, quote unquote, either the terrestrial kingdom or the telestial kingdom. So by the church saying no to Ms. Anderson, wanting to come back into the church means that she's basically doomed to spend eternity in either that terrestrial or telestial kingdom. She will not be with her husband, who died as a faithful Latter-day Saint. And we're going to find as we go through this article, even though she shared his beliefs, she's not going to die as a faithful Mormon unless she's allowed back into the church, which apparently that's not going to happen.
A lot of Latter-day Saints have talked to us about the unfairness of hell, the biblical version that there's separation from God for eternity. They say that's not fair. But this doesn't seem fair for somebody who seems like she has repented, who wants to get back in, and the church is going to say no to her appeal to rejoin the church after they felt 20-plus years ago that what she had done was, I guess it's unforgivable, is what they're basically saying. What she did in the 1990s was unforgivable.
That's an interesting word that you use, and I hadn't thought about it until you said it. Because in Mormonism, really, the only unforgivable sin is murder. And even some Mormons question that. But technically, that's the unforgivable sin. And yet, here's a woman who merely wrote an article criticizing her ecclesiastical leaders. And because of that, at least this is what we're led to believe in this article, because of what she did, she's not allowed back in. So you might be correct about that, Eric. That is considered, I guess, unforgivable, at least in these men's eyes.
And they're not telling her why they're not going to allow her back in. In fact, the article talks about her faithfulness in the past quarter century. This is what it says. This is why she was excommunicated. She was excommunicated for an article she wrote in Dialogue, a Journal of Mormon Thought.
Now, let me stop you there, because Dialogue, a Journal of Mormon Thought, is a publication that is produced. It's not produced by the church, but it is a more scholarly type of publication where a lot of the intellectuals and scholars did contribute to this publication. And I remember back in the 90s, to contribute an article to Dialogue or even Sunstone could sometimes raise the eyebrows of your ecclesiastical leaders, because Dialogue and Sunstone, at least in my opinion, and I think in the opinion of a lot of Latter-day Saints, was a bit more edgy when it came to Mormon theology and Mormon history. In other words, in my opinion, I think they were much more honest about their theology and history than, let's say, an article that would be published in Ensign.
I'm going to use the term unforgivable sin. What was Anderson's unforgivable sin? According to the article, she described ecclesiastical abuse of Latter-day Saint intellectuals. And so she criticized the church leadership, is what she did. That is probably just as bad as murder or adultery or whatever other unforgivable sins there are in Mormonism.
Yeah, and she was concerned about how these intellectuals were being treated. And it goes back to what I said at the beginning of the show. That was a different Mormonism back then. I really do think that. I think the church has a much more permissive attitude when it comes to criticism. It's not that they've refrained from excommunicating people who are vocally critical, but you usually have to get a lot of press and cause the church a lot of embarrassment before that happens. Now, Lavina Fielding Anderson and this other group back in 1993, they did that. They did cause the church some embarrassment, and they were quick to be excommunicated. I think the church is much slower nowadays to do that.
And why is that? I'm going to suggest the possibility that the church was growing by 4% back in the 1990s, and now they're growing by about 1%. So I think there might be an issue of, you start throwing people out, there might be a lineup of people you're going to have to toss out for whatever the reasons were back in the 1990s that were sufficient to be able to get them excommunicated. And today, why would you do that to yourself?
It makes you wonder if 17th President Russell M. Nelson had a say in this decision, because Russell M. Nelson was around when this all happened. He was no doubt good friends with a lot of the apostles at the time who were involved in this decision to kick these members out. And it could be that he's probably still stinging from some of the things they may have said back then. Who knows? Maybe it was Russell M. Nelson who was the final authority on this, saying, no way, this isn't going to happen. Now, the article doesn't say that. But the article does say the church declined to comment on the decision. So we don't know if Russell M. Nelson had a say in this decision, but I would not be surprised if he did.
According to the Salt Lake Tribune article, it says in the quarter century since her ouster, Anderson consistently has attended weekly services at her Latter-day Saint congregation, the Whittier Ward. She has sat quietly in the same pew as the emblems of the sacrament, or communion, have passed by her more than 1,200 times without being able to partake. She has participated as much as she was able, playing the piano and singing in the choir, and watched as 7 lay bishops have come and gone.
Now that's quite a story in that paragraph. And a lot of people not being a member of the LDS Church may not really understand the significance of that. But once you're excommunicated from the church, you're certainly allowed to attend. They're not going to say you can't come back and sit on a pew during a service. But you are not allowed to partake of the sacrament. This would be the bread and the water, since Mormons don't use grape juice or wine. They use water and bread as the elements for the sacrament service, or the communion as we would understand it. Can you imagine 1,200 times? She's added them up. And so she's got her case, I think, all ready to go as to the suffering she feels that she has gone through as a result of being kicked out. But the fact is, when it says that she has participated as much as she was able, I would not be surprised if she has probably done more in her local ward than maybe some average members who are there in good standing. They pay their tithes, they do what they're supposed to, they don't rock the boat, they show their loyalty. Maybe they're doing far less than what Ms. Anderson has done over the past several years, where it talks about her playing the piano, singing in the choir. And then you have this little dig, watched as 7 lay bishops have come and gone. So she's still there. Those bishops are gone because they're only there for a short period of time anyway. It's not a lifelong position.
What was the reason for her to want to come back? According to the article, on March 23rd, 2018, Anderson's husband Paul died of heart failure. It was his death and funeral that prompted the couple's current bishop to bring up the possibility of her rejoining the church. While preparing for the retired Brigham Young University artist memorial service, Bishop Mahanrai Madrigal read Paul's written testimony, or statements of faith, that the ward had compiled in 2000. Right next to Paul's was Levina's description of her beliefs in Jesus Christ, Mormon founder Joseph Smith, the scriptural text he produced, the Book of Mormon, and the role of prophets. Her testimony was that of a believer, he later told her. He wept as he read it aloud to others.
And we should say that that phrase, that of a believer, her testimony was that of a believer. That of a believer is in quotations. And so here's the dilemma, at least the dilemma that I see here. You have a woman who claims to believe exactly the way her husband believed.
Right.
Her husband passes away. He is buried with honor,
right,
you might say, as a faithful member of the LDS Church. She believes exactly the same, according to what we're reading here, but yet she isn't allowed to come back into the fold.
Not only that, but the husband is sitting in his grave hoping that when he does come back again, he will be able to call her from the grave using her new name from the temple. But if she's not allowed back in the church, she won't be able to join him.
Tomorrow we're going to continue looking at this story that was found in the Salt Lake Tribune on September 5th. Writer excommunicated during September 6th purge loses her bid to rejoin the LDS Church.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.